very good afternoon to one and all. Welcome once again to What's Cooking for October, no less. My goodness, the year is really flying by, isn't it? Christmas before you know it. I hope I find you all well and ready to enjoy today's programme. And we have a full programme as usual. So, what's cooking? Today we're going to talk about rice, the staple food of billions of people. And it may surprise you to know that there are thousands of types of rice, although we only use five types for cooking. And I'll be talking a little more about these later in the programme. So, what is rice? Rice is the staple food of more than 3 billion people who eat it every day. It is actually a type of grass and belongs to a family of plants that includes other cereals such as wheat and corn. Rich in nutrients, it contains a number of vitamins and minerals. It is an excellent source of complex carbohydrates, the best source of energy. However, a lot of these nutrients are lost during milling and polishing, which turns brown rice into white rice by removing the outer rice husk and bran to reveal the white grain. Two species of rice are considered important as food species for humans: Oryza sativa, grown worldwide, and Oryza glabrima, grown in parts of West Africa. Both of these belong to a bigger group of plants, the genus Oryza, that includes about 20 other species. The International Rice Gene Bank, the world's largest collection of rice diversity, contains more than 112,000 different types of rice, including species of wild rice, the ancestors of rice, traditional and heirloom varieties, and modern varieties. The origins of rice have long been debated. The plant is of such antiquity that the exact time and place of its first development will perhaps never be known. It is certain, however, that domestication of rice ranks as one of the most important developments in history. Rice has fed more people over a longer period than has any other crop. Evidence for rice production across Thailand and other parts of Asia dates back thousands of years. Pottery shards bearing the imprint of both grains and husks of the cultivated rice species Oryza sativa were discovered in the 1960s at Nong Nok Tha in the Korat area of Thailand. Rice plant remains from 10,000 BC were discovered in Spirit Cave on the Thailand-Myanmar border. In China, extensive archaeological evidence points to the Middle Yangtze and Upper Hue rivers as the two earliest places Oryza sativa was cultivated in the country. Rice and related farming implements dating back at least 8,000 years were found there, and rice cultivation seems to have spread down these rivers over the following 2,000 years. From early, perhaps separate beginnings in different parts of Asia, the process of diffusion has carried rice in all directions, and today it is cultivated on every continent except Antarctica. Rice is unique because it can be grown in wet environments where other crops fail. Irrigated lowland rice, which makes up 3/4 of the world rice supply, is the only crop that can be grown continuously without the need for rotation and can produce up to 3 harvests a year, literally for centuries, on the same plot of land. Farmers also grow rice in rain-fed lowlands, uplands, mangroves and deep water areas. Rice plays an important role in many cultures. For thousands of years, different parts of the rice plant have been used in religious and ceremonial occasions as medicine and as inspiration and medium for a great number of artworks. Rice shortages affect society far beyond the cold statistics that price, caloric intake, yield, growth rates, and international trade suggest. Any significant disruptions of rice supplies can and do have far-reaching social and political ramifications. In most of the developing world, rice is equated with food security and closely connected to political security. Changes in rice availability and hence price have caused social unrest in several countries. To keep rice prices stable and affordable at around $300 a tonne, it is estimated that an additional 8 to 10 million tonnes of rice needs to be produced every year. The challenge, above anything else, is to produce this additional rice with less land, less water and less labour, in more efficient, environmentally friendly production systems that are more resilient to climate change, among other factors. So, what are the five types of rice we use in cooking? First up, we have converted or parboiled rice, basic white rice used for home cooking in much of the Western world. This is medium to long grain. Long grain rice includes the Indian basmati. Short grain rice, the family of Italian arborio rice, used to make risotto, also used in sushi. Wild rice, not really rice at all. Wild rice is a remote relative of white rice, long grain, aquatic grass. Brown rice, healthful, unrefined rice. That means it still has the bran and germ that are removed from white rice with a slightly nutty flavour. So how to cook the perfect rice? Well, there are, of course, rice cookers, especially for doing such things. And you can also steam rice in your everyday steamer. However, if you want to cook rice in a saucepan, you will need 225 grams, 8 ounces long grain rice, 350 ml, 12 fluid ounces water. 1. Put the rice in a saucepan. Wash the rice with cold water. Drain and repeat the process twice. 2. Add clean water to the rice. 3. Cook rice over a high heat, bring to the boil uncovered. 4. Switch to a very low heat and cover with a lid. Simmer the rice for 15 to 20 minutes. Do not take the lid off until the time is up. This is crucial as the rice is steam cooked under pressure. 5. When done, fluff up the rice with a fork or chopsticks and serve hot. Our first recipe today is for risotto, something that I have made from time to time, and a nice filling meal, I think. Let's enjoy.
Now, we have gone right to the top this morning and secured the services of the Michelin-starred chef, Angela Hartnett, who was taught to make risotto by her Italian grandmother. Angela, welcome to the programme again.
Hi, good morning, Jo.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you.
Now, you've been stirring the onions and starting off, but we'll start with the most basic question of all. What is risotto?
What? Well, it's a combination. It's basically rice, you know. It's a lovely rice. You've got different types, from arborio, which is the most common risotto, to carinoli, or you've got the risotto rice from the Veneto region. And it's the size of the grain which differs on which type of risotto is and how much starch is in there. And that requires how much liquid is going to take on when you cook it. So, for instance, the carinoli one becomes very creamy. You know, it's got that lovely creamy effect when it's finished with the butter and the cheese. So that seems to be the one a lot of chefs use. Arborio is probably the most common one in the shops that we all use on a day-to-day basis.
Which risotto are you cooking with today?
I'm using the carinoli one I brought from Italy one day.
And this is red wine and...
Red wine and chorizo. So we're going to do a red wine-based sauce. We've got a bit of chorizo oil in our stock, and we're using a chicken-based stock, and we're going to finish it with some cheese, parmesan, and sliced chorizo on top.
Yeah, this is not necessarily for those who might be... watching their weight.
No, risotto isn't for the faint-hearted.
No, it's for me. I need a carbo load every now and again. I'm allowed one. What the sort of fat that you use, what do you use?
In the sense where now what I've done is sauté the onions and garlic, touch of olive oil, I've added the rice, and then I've added a touch of butter. And what we've done is toast the rice now to start the sort of cooking process, and it seals the rice so the water or the liquid doesn't get in too straight and absorb too quickly.
You've got red wine in this one. Do you have to have wine?
No, you don't have to have wine. You can generally people use white wine, but if you don't want to use wine at all, you don't have to. But we're using red today because that's the flavour of the risotto.
Is it worth just spending just a few quid on a bottle of wine, or do you have to get good stuff?
No, I think it's cooking wine because basically the alcohol is going to evaporate. You know, what you're going to have is the flavour of the grape. So, you know, as long as it's okay, you know. Not the bin end, but, you know, it doesn't have to be super end.
I say the word bin end to me. Right. You can just hear that. Just a slight note of risotto being cooked. You better just tell us exactly what you're making, Angela, and what we covered earlier on, just very briefly, the ingredients.
So I'm making a classic risotto, red wine risotto is the flavouring, finished off with sautéed chorizo, parmesan, a touch of butter.
Now, I regard making risotto as difficult.
Mm.
Is it?
I think it's difficult in the sense that you do have to stand over the pan. There are cheap ways of doing it. You can cook your risotto because it's always classically 20 minutes. You could cook it till sort of 16 minutes and then finish the last 4 minutes off. But the thing is, you have rice. You need to make sure you cool it down properly to avoid any sort of problems of food poisoning or anything like that. So in some respects, it's simpler to just go 20 minutes, stand by the stove, glass of wine in one hand, watch the TV in the other.
The common mistakes then that people, numpties like me, trying to do it at home make are what?
I think oversaturating it, you know, basically putting too much liquid in at one time so that the risotto can't cook slowly and absorb it slowly and evenly. Not having a hot stock. A lot of people do not have a hot stock, so they add cold stock to it or cold water.
Well, why would they do that?
Why would they? I don't know why they do that, but if they did, what they're doing is they're not having an even cooking temperature, because basically the cold liquid will just basically chill down the risotto and you have to bring it back up to the boil. And I think the secret at the end is that when you do this bit, which I'm about to do in a minute, is adding the butter, which has to be ice cold, and the parmesan cheese. And so many people leave their risotto on the stove and just add it in.
So you must remove it from the heat.
Must remove it from the pan, yeah.
OK, so the stock's got to be hot,
yeah.
But the butter and the parmesan have got to be ice cold.
Mm, definitely the butter, because otherwise you put butter in, it just melts in. And what you want it to do is melt slowly in, so it creams the risotto and has this lovely creamy effect at the end.
Some people put actual cream in, don't they?
Some people do. I'm quite authentic. I don't like the mascarpone finish in a risotto.
Is that cheating?
Could be cheating, yeah. It's a different style. It's a very English style, put it like that. It's a chefy thing, but I don't advocate it.
I sense your score. OK, and the stock, you would obviously use proper stock, but,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest, most of us, certainly if we're cooking it on a weekday night... We probably haven't made stock.
No, and right? I think so. And I think, you know, there are some. I mean, I think a cousin of mine was sent off some wild goose chase to get these really authentic, lovely organic stock cubes that are vegetarian. So I think, you know, you don't have time to do it. If you find a really good one, you know, don't be afraid to use it. I don't think we can sit there and tell people they've got to cook a chicken stock for 2 hours to make a bowl of risotto.
You can use other sorts of stock. Doesn't
yes,
have to be
definitely.
Chicken either, does it?
No, exactly. It can be totally vegetarian. The one we use at the restaurant, it's all vegetarian, so that there's no stock in it at all. I mean, there's no chicken stock in it at all.
I mentioned at the very beginning that it's not really for dieters, but actually I gather you have been asked to make ultra-low-fat versions.
Oh, sometimes people do. They want risotto and they just don't want any butter in it or any dairy. So it's just basically some boiled rice with flavouring Or you do one. Another one is doing a spelt risotto or even a pearl barley if they don't want to use the actual risotto rice.
Do you really think that works?
Well, it's not my taste, but, you know, you can't never say never. You know, people like to try things. Right, so we're finished with a bit of cheese.
OK, what's happening now?
So we just added the butter in my little kitchen here, and we're just finishing it with a little bit of cheese. And unfortunately, the listeners can't see, but you see it's really creamy now.
The smell is just overwhelming.
And then basically we'd finish it with a little bit of parsley, but unfortunately I forgot that, so we're just going to... What you should be able to do
is
pour.
Why have you been so honest? I would have pretended.
I know, you're too well.
What's the version that you make with peaches?
Oh, there's one which is sort of sweeter version, and actually it doesn't feel as sweet as you would imagine, but it does have this lovely distinctive flavour, as you can imagine, and it's very, very delicate. Mm. So, and we're just finishing a little bit of chorizo there on top.
Oh, brilliant. So that doesn't go in at all, the chorizo?
No, I like it because I want the chorizo slightly crispy rather than soggy because it's been cooking with the risotto.
I've got to delicately wrestle that plate from
you. I'm going to bring it over and stay there.
Waitress service. Oh, fantastic.
There you go. Well, there's quite a bowl of risotto to eat at this time.
I'm a big woman. Thank you very much.
Next up, we have a recipe for vegetable rice stir fry. And for this, you will need 2 tablespoons olive oil, 3 spring onions sliced, 1/2 a red romero pepper, seeds removed and chopped, 1/2 a courgette, chopped, 85 grams, 3 ounces, long grain rice, cooked according to packet instructions. Drained. 1 tablespoon sesame oil. 1 tablespoon soy sauce. Salt and freshly ground black pepper. And
this is what you do.
1. Heat the oil in a wok over a high heat and stir fry the onions, pepper and courgette for 3 to 4 minutes. Add the cooked rice and continue to stir fry for 3 to 4 minutes or until the rice is warmed through. 2. Remove the wok from the heat, then stir in the sesame oil and soy sauce and season to taste with salt and freshly ground black pepper. Serve immediately. Our next recipe is for rice balls, and this is given to us by the very famous Italian chef Antonio Carluccio. So, let's listen to what he has to say.
Antonio Carluccio cooks the perfect arancini. So, Antonio, what is an arancini?
Arancini, the diminutive of arancio. Arancio, it's orange, and this recipe is originally from Sicily. In fact, in Sicily, for a long time, arancini, they are just a sort of the equivalent of a sandwich at lunch. So you go to the friggitoria or the bar, and you take an arancini, which could be with mozzarella or with ragù, and that's your lunch.
So how do you make it?
Usually you can do it with leftovers of risotto, which is the best. When I have a sort of risotto with mushrooms, I always do it. I put an egg in it to bind it, and then I make balls, and I put in breadcrumbs like this, and then I fry them, and they are just wonderful.
Now, happily, you have brought some that
yes.
you made
yeah, but
earlier,
you've got
which
there,
I'm
there
going are... to try. I've got some round ones.
Yeah,
round
the round
balls.
One, they are
And then
with...
I've got some little cones
yes,
as well.
Yes, the round one, it's... pesto, because when you do risotto with pesto, you could do that as well. The funny thing is that it's just the equivalent of if you like it, of the Japanese sushi, because it's rice with something, and this is the rice with something.
That is very nice. That's the pesto.
That's nice.
One
that is the pesto one.
And
the
how other one is how careful ragu. Though, you know, some people have said you have to be very careful about reheating rice.
Yes.
You shouldn't leave it in the fridge for too long and then
reheat
it.
No, that's right.
What should you do? How long should you leave
it? I use it straight away or the day after, no more than that.
So the day after,
yeah,
all right. All right, so That was the pesto one.
There's the other one, yes.
What's the
nice.
Little cup? How am I going to tackle this?
Yeah, taking it in the
Turn
mouth.
Turn it over. No, I'm not going to take the whole lot in the mouth. I'll just chop the end off. What's this one?
This is with ragu. The ragu sort of meat. And you do it like this, you see. Take the rice, you put in a sort of palm of your hand. Then you take a little bit of the ragu, you put in the middle. And then you make a sort of close it as a bowl. So you dip it into breadcrumbs and you deep fry it. Just that.
That's really nice. So do you always deep fry or can you shallow fry them?
Shallow fried as well, obviously. But shallow fried a little bit more, a centimetre of oil in the pan at least. So that you fry a little bit the side as well.
It's got a lovely crunchy.
Oh, that's lovely.
Crunchy outside.
Yes, for parties where you can do them smaller. Yes, it's a lovely thing.
And what kind of oil do you use?
There is an olive oil that you can use for frying, which is more flavoursome. But you could use also vegetable oil as well.
I thought it would have to be an olive oil coming from you. And would you eat them cold as well as hot?
As well, you can. You see, because there's nothing that can be congealed or whatever, like butter or fat, with oil like this, is cold, they're fine as well.
Mm, they're really lovely. What was your impression of UK Italian food when you first came in 75. I suspect the only thing you could get was spag bol.
Not a good one. I thought it was, sort of, I created the word, it was Britalian food. So the food created for the British, including the famous Bolognese sauce, which was horrendous. Because the real Bolognese doesn't have herbs whatsoever, especially not oregano. And I was horrified when you taste a Bolognese sauce, which should be just pork and veal or veal and beef, and just that with onions and a bit of tomatoes and bubbling away for a couple of hours until you have a lovely sauce to flavor tagliatelle and not spaghetti. So there were two errors there. But nonetheless, so many, many people, they had spaghetti up to the fact to become one of the major dishes in England.
It's what you give to children all the time. It's their favourite thing. But why tagliatelle rather than spaghetti?
Because the recipe comes from Emilia Romagna, and the spaghetti is more Napoli. And the spaghetti, they're more for normal tomato sauce and other things. But the tagliatelle, if you do the difference, you eat them one after the other, you will see the difference is enormous.
Antonio Carluccio, thank you very much indeed.
And now a favourite recipe of mine. This is for kedgeree. Mmm, lovely. There are lots of different recipes for kedgeree, of course. This mild kedgeree is perfect for a weekend brunch and on the table in half an hour. So nice and easy. For this, you will need half an onion, finely chopped, 55 grams, 2 ounces butter, 300 grams, 10 ounces basmati rice, 1 teaspoon Madras curry powder, freshly grated nutmeg, 200 ml, 7 fluid ounces milk, 10 ml, 4 fluid ounces double cream, 300 grams, 10 ounces naturally smoked haddock, not dyed, picked over, bones removed, and flesh cut into chunks. But really, I think you could probably use any sort of seafood. It doesn't matter that it's not haddock. I don't always use haddock, or I haven't when I've made this kedgeree. Sea salt and cracked black pepper. Small bunch parsley chopped. 3 hard-boiled eggs, shelled and halved. Good pinch of cayenne and freshly ground nutmeg, and that is optional. To serve, a knob of butter, wedges of lemon, and
this is what you do.
1. Cook the onion gently in the butter for a few minutes, then add the rice. 2. Continue cooking gently and stirring, adding the curry powder and nutmeg. After a few minutes, add the milk, cream, and 250 mils, 9 fluid ounces of water. 3. When the mixture begins to simmer, add the fish and continue simmering, stirring occasionally until the rice is cooked. You may need to add a little water if the mixture becomes dry. 4. Season, add the parsley and stir. Add the eggs and garnish with cayenne and nutmeg if using. Serve topped with a knob of butter and wedges of lemon. And now here are some rice tips that you might like to know about. And first up, if your recipe calls for cooked rice or a packaged seasoned rice product, start cooking the rice first, then begin preparation of the recipe ingredients. Cook double batches of rice so you will always have some on hand to prepare your next meal. And I have to say that's something I always do. And refrigerate for up to 1 week or freeze for up to 6 months. And I must admit, we do tend to freeze rice and it is fine frozen. And it's just as fresh when it's cooked with your meal as it would have been if you'd cooked it from scratch. Read your recipe in advance to familiarise yourself and plan out a day ahead. At the grocery store, purchase items in the form you will use them in a recipe. Purchase shredded or grated cheese, boneless, skinless chicken breasts, and pre-cut fresh vegetables. For a delicious flavour, cook rice in chicken or beef broth instead of water. Try a Mexican flair with chili peppers, cumin, garlic or cilantro during cooking. And for a delicious French twist, add rosemary, basil or chives. Top hot buttered rice, white or brown, with brown sugar, maple syrup, fruit preserves, fruit, yogurt or raisins, just as you would any hot cereal. Toss hot cooked rice with crispy cooked crumbled bacon. Top individual servings with a poached egg and shredded cheese. Some of those sound absolutely delicious, don't they? I shall certainly be trying some of those. If you were listening last month, you will remember that I set you a little teaser. We had in the programme a recipe for tiramisu, and I wanted to know from the listeners, what does tiramisu mean? The answer is pick-me-up. If you'd like to contact the programme with feedback, queries, any ideas you might have for future shows, any recipes you might to share with other listeners, you can do so in the usual way by emailing cooking@theglobalvoice.info. That's COOKIN at theglobalvoice.info. To download or to listen to this programme again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery. Or you can go to incx.org, where you can subscribe to the What's Cooking podcast. Well, that's all for today. So, until I'm with you next time, this is Sue Hadfield saying, look after yourselves and each other. And as always, happy cooking!